You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, and I'm joined by the broadcasting extraordinaire, the flying Hawaiian, Brendan Scarborough from Northwestern St. Paul. He's bringing his expertise. We're going to be talking about more NBA trade deadline materials, just because that is a rapidly approaching subject. And because of the moves already made with Blake Griffin, I think it's going to be an exciting trade deadline, just like the summer. And so there's a lot of pieces that can move around. Brendan, thanks for joining the show.
Absolutely. You know, I always have a blast. And, you know, always in studio is a lot better than over the phone.
Of course, because I can look at your beautiful face.
Exactly. And honestly, to me, we're not interrupt. Like, I know when you're about to be done speaking, and you know when I'm, no interruptions. Or hopefully, God forbid.
The flow of the conversation is
absolutely
impeccable.
So,
obviously, Blake Griffin to the Pistons. That one makes a little bit of a wave right there. And yep. You have Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris are the big pieces. Picks a center. But Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley are the big pieces going to the Clippers. Now everybody else is on, or everybody of real note is on the trading block, or at least the Clippers have made that very apparent for DeAndre Jordan, Lou Williams. You've got teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, who you think probably need a piece with the way their defense and offense is played. You're looking at Toronto, maybe they think they're a piece away. You're looking at teams like the Hawks and the Sacramento Kings. They've got a couple pieces maybe that they could move around. I think that Utah is another team that looks like they could probably be for wholesale outside of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. So if you're looking at what the Clippers and Pistons did, what do you think the implications are just as far as the trade deadline? Because, again, a lot of people thought it was going to be a quiet one headed into the deadline. Do you think that that kind of wave really changes the landscape of how people view the deadline now in a different way?
Absolutely. And I think what people are now seeing is that, and almost like with the Clippers, we almost see that almost the entire team is going in an opposite direction of what they were. You know, this was a team that, you know, after they lost Chris Paul, they were like, hey, you know, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin are going to be our two big guys. These are the people we're going to focus around. Blake Griffin with a huge contract extension in the offseason. These are the guys that we're going to focus around. And on a whim, trade them to Detroit, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, they're looking to make changes. And I think that people now are seeing, like, hey, like, this is something where if big moves want to be made, it can also happen, you know, by the trade deadline rather than just the offseason.
No, yeah. And, two, I think that there was so much movement in the off season that people kind of looked at a bunch of teams as maybe you don't want to mess up anything just because you really don't know what you have midway through the season yet. But I think when you're looking, I think that's maybe the wrong way to interpret it for at least some of these teams. I think the way some of these teams are approaching it is we can make moves to at least get somewhere in the playoffs. And maybe the goal for a lot of these teams isn't to try and beat the Warriors, but simply just improve playoff seeding and try and build on a base for the coming years as opposed to trying to build a super team right now. And so little moves like a Kent Bazemore or something like that could be a big deal for some teams as it kind of plays out down the road of the next 3 years.
Yeah, and I would also say that a lot of teams, like with Blake Griffin, as well as he's been playing this season, there are the problems, we talked about this earlier, with his health, you know. Is it more valuable to have to someone who will play as well as Blake Griffin for, you know, he hasn't played more than 67 games in a few years here since the 2013-2014 season. Is it more worth it to have someone who plays as well as he does, you know, for that short amount of time, or like a Tobias Harris who maybe doesn't have as many injury problems and maybe not won't play as well, but you can depend on him a little bit more than Blake, you know?
No, yeah. And the other thing, too, is, and we talked about this earlier, and I think I talked about this with Dane as well as DaneMoreZoneCoverage.com contributor and writer, is that if you're in the Clippers situation, I think they were looking at his injuries combined with the contract extension And I think they're just thinking there's going to be a team that's going to want a superstar like Blake Griffin, but we just don't want to be locked into that cap situation for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense if you're first, we're going to talk about LeBron to LA and how that might have shifted. We're going to talk about what's left in the free agent market, what could be some viable pieces, and if any of them look suitable for the Timberwolves. But kind of getting to the point I was just about to jump to, does this mean that LeBron very well could end up a Clipper? Is this kind of the Clippers' move to beat out the Lakers this summer in a play for LeBron?
I would say that LeBron is definitely, it makes sense for him to look toward LA. Like, and with the Clippers now having a lot more, you know, that it frees up the cap space as we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think the Clippers are looking to buy someone who's a little bit more durable and someone who's a little bit more, maybe even dynamic. Someone who can step, like, because Blake Griffin, like, he can hit a three once in a while. But outside of Blake Griffin, who is their best three? I mean, not Blake Griffin, but who's their best 3-point shooter? Like, on that team, like, Probably Lou, right? And, I mean, Lou, you know, he's had a hot winter, but still, yeah, he's had some very streaky games.
Yeah.
So I would say they're probably looking to get a more durable offensive option. But, yeah.
And two-way guys, too. I feel like for the last, if you take away Chris Paul, they've had some guys who are good at a couple things, not good at everything. And I think if you get LeBron, he's good at pretty much everything. And I know people can hammer away on his efficiency or maybe some 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. I know that his free throw percentage is down this year. But in general, LeBron is very good at basically everything. Yep. And you can have him play defense on guys. He can play offensively everywhere. I think Paul George is another guy. I think really the deciding factor is if the Clippers can get Paul George and they draft really well, you've got a bunch of young pieces, Paul George. Now you can go to LeBron and you can have the cap space if they choose to let go of guys like Harris or Avery Bradley, if they choose to let them walk and say, we got young pieces, we got some established guys, and we really want to make a push against the Warriors. Can you want to join up on this team? And that looks more appealing to me than the Lakers.
If LeBron does go there, do you bump LeBron down to the four?
I think you might have to just by show of who's on that team. I don't know. That'll be interesting. It depends on who you draft too, right?
Yep.
But with it looks like it might be a guard heavy draft, at least to the top of the draft, and so you might have to bump him down to the four. Again, I think that they're just going to have a bunch of small ball lineups, so I don't think it's going to – if LeBron's on that team with Paul George and then you have guys like Patrick Beverley and you have Gallinari still on that team, I think that it's not going to matter. It's probably going to be more small ball lineups anyways because DJ won't be on that team still.
And another question for you. So I'm pretty surprised that at this point – I mean, he's been playing okay, but Austin Rivers, a lot of people have had problems with him there. You know, he's had some games where he's shown potential to be a pretty good player. But then we've also seen a lot of games where it's like Austin's forcing a lot of shots. He's trying to make things happen that can't. Do you ever see who leaves first, Doc or Austin?
That's a good question. I think it'd probably be Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's so expensive.
Yeah.
And he's on a terrible deal because right now he's like a B role player guy.
Yeah.
And he's getting paid, $12 million?
Something like that.
It's too much for what they're – 12 million a year is too much for a B guy off the bench.
Yeah.
A B guy starting is different than a B guy off the bench. And so it's too much. I think that's part of the process. And so let's talk about that. I think now you got Lou Williams and DJ who are on the trading block, the Clippers have said. What are the best landing places for those two guys? And take in mind, too, I don't think the Cavaliers have the cap. These are popular guys to put on the Cavaliers, but I don't think the Cavaliers have the cap space for DJ, and I don't know if they want to give up as much as the Clippers will ask for maybe a rental in Lou Williams.
Yeah.
So take away the Cavaliers, a popular landing spot for these guys. Who do you like these guys falling to?
Okay, well, so the thing is a lot of people were talking about maybe even Boogie Cousins leaving the Pelicans, like the Pelicans before he was even, you know, a lot of people were like, what will he do? Because he wasn't guaranteed to stay there for very long. Mm-hmm. And now with the injury, if the Pelicans are looking to do something in the offseason, I would definitely say DeAndre Jordan is a pretty good fill-in for what... Now, Boogie was all around. He's a much better player than DeAndre. There's no question about it. But DeAndre can definitely fill in from a defensive standpoint and a rebounding standpoint. You know,
and maybe you're giving more shots to Anthony Davis.
Exactly. Exactly. And maybe you don't take away as many shots from him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that based off of the injury, because they look to play really well when they're both on the floor. But the tough thing is that, you know, you don't really have, I mean, like outside of that, now that he's injured, you don't really have that inside option as much, you know?
Do the Washington Wizards have the pieces outside of Oubre, Otto Porter, and Bradley Beal to try and make a play for DJ?
I would say so, because, I mean, at this point, it looks like the Clippers are getting a lot of – they want a lot of role players, you know?
And draft picks.
And draft picks. So I think as of right now, they could probably trade Gortat and maybe one of those guys. If I'm the Wizards, I try to keep one of those, Oubre or Bradley Beal. Obviously, I think you'd want Bradley Beal over Oubre.
Oh, yeah.
But I would try to get those, keep one of those two, trade Gortat and maybe Oubre and a draft pick for DeAndre Jordan and some other pieces. But, I mean, that would be also a really good team because that's a very athletic team. And, I mean, out in the fast break, DeAndre Jordan and John Wall would be absolutely nasty together.
They've got to get somebody to help. Because he's going to be gone for 2 months, John Wall is,
yep,
with this injury.
Yep.
And as well as the team played in his absence, I think they went, what was it, like 9-7 or something like that when
something
he was out.
Something like that, yeah.
It's just, I don't know if you want to bet that Bradley Beal outshoots a bunch of teams to, yep, get a bunch of wins.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're falling pretty fast in the playoff race here. Let me just check real quick where they are in the standings. As of tonight, they are in that sixth spot. So, and the Indiana Pacers are right there behind them. And then the Philadelphia 76ers, they have a little bit of a cushion. But they could drop, over the next 2 months, they could drop to the eighth seed pretty quickly if you have a drop-off in play, because those teams are trailing pretty close. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to talk about Lou Williams and some of the other players on the market. Lou Williams is the other guy on the trading block. I tried to make a case for him earlier in the week about maybe the Timberwolves should go for Lou Williams. Dame Moore shot that one down on me. He made some good points. And maybe, I don't know if you want another shooting heavy player on the team that the Timberwolves have already, but what are some teams out there that could use a guy like Lou Williams?
Well, I would say somebody maybe like the Indiana Pacers. You know, somebody like Lou Williams, what he's going to offer you is not necessarily, as we were saying, like not necessarily an all-around player. But as of the winter, he's been really hot, you know.
Explosive scorer. Averaging 30 points a game.
Yep. And he, you know, I would think if you're the Pacers, that would definitely help in the offensive, at least in the offensive mm-hmm. part of the game there.
And somebody to throw next to Victor Oladipo. Mm-hmm. And then I think both those guys could kind of pair nicely because Miles Turner has looked really good since coming back.
Yep.
And I think that if you have two guys who are going to really cut somebody up, especially late in a game from outside, mm-hmm. I think that could really open up the floor for Miles Turner as well.
Yep.
I like the Pacers idea. The other team I was looking at for them, maybe I don't know if the Kings will give up as much young talent as probably the Clippers would want or draft picks, but the Kings could be a spot where you slide him next to a guy like De'Aaron Fox. And Fox hasn't yet shown that he has the offense quite down yet, the offensive consistency. But if you're throwing the defensive Fox next to Lou Williams' offense, that could be pretty fun. Some other guys on the market, we're talking about the Jazz. They could have a bunch of players for sale. Guys like Rodney Hood, I think, could be interesting. That's another guy that maybe the Washington Wizards should pursue, is a guy like Rodney Hood who's going to be a solid guy off the bench. Kent Bazemore was another guy. I like Kent Bazemore. I've seen him torch the Celtics in a lot of series, and I know this is one situation, but in a lot of playoff series, I've seen his 3-and-D torch the Celtics, a very good team. And he has games. I know that he's not a very good consistent player, but he's a pretty solid defender, and then he has games where he can go off. You saw against the Timberwolves the other night where he had over 20 points.
I would also say that another team that, you know, probably could use Lou Williams is probably the Spurs, especially with Kawhi Leonard out. They can definitely use help from beyond the three-point arc. You know, Danny Green, Patty Mills, not that bad. Like, they're a pretty good duo, but I definitely think they could use that spark on offense, even on the inside. You know, someone to help out LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, you know, DeAndre Jordan would not be that bad of an option for them either. I was also looking at maybe even, like, you know, the Nuggets could use some outside help. I would, yeah. And I mean, even the 76ers, if Lou Williams landed with them, that wouldn't be that bad of a deal. But yeah, there's a lot of options. It's a lot more exciting than I thought it was going to be. I was like, you know, with Chris Paul leaving, with Paul George moving around, like all these places, like I was like, you know what? This offseason was really exciting. It can't get more exciting than this, you know?
No, yeah. I think there's a lot of possibilities out there. The other guy, and we were talking about this earlier as well, what are you willing to give up for Tyreke Evans off the Grizzlies? Because I feel like they're going to want a lot. And he's been playing really well, but he's also had a pretty mediocre career before this year.
Yeah, I would say they're going to want, obviously, a lot more than he's worth, you know, or as much as he's worth, obviously. But I would say they're definitely going to want at least a few pieces and maybe a draft pick. Obviously, and they would give the same away, but they're probably going to want a decent amount for Tyreke Evans, which is true. Like, I mean, he's been a pretty good role player this year. You know, he's definitely stepped up in some situations, and you know, he's played a lot better this year than he has in the past year. I don't know. I definitely think they're going to want something pretty heavy for him. You know, you're not going to get him on the cheap. So,
yeah, and that's the problem if you're a team like the Cavaliers, who maybe you don't want to shell out a bunch, or you're even a team like the Timberwolves, and you don't want to move too many pieces around to go for somebody. Kind of last guy I had on my list before we move on to the Timberwolves, Kemba Walker. Interesting situation where they basically stuck the for sale sign out. Is there a really good spot for Kemba Walker to end up? I really like him on the New York roster.
Yeah, I would like him there as well. I mean, he's very exciting to watch. You know, offensively, he's very good. He just brings an energy, just really fun player to watch on the court. Mm-hmm. I think he can definitely help turn the tide. He can help that atmosphere, you know, be, I would say, a healthier atmosphere, maybe is the word I'm looking for. I don't know. New York has been pretty dismal, but someone, you know, that can play next to Porzingis, I think, as well. So I think it'd be fun.
I know that the offense kind of has to run through Kemba too, which kind of shortens the list of places he can actually go.
Yep.
But I think that could work well. Porzingis and Kemba Walker could work well. I think that they will want Frankie Smokes though, the rookie out of France,
and probably.
I don't know if they're willing to give up on their first round lottery pick quite yet. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to move on to who the Timberwolves might target in at the trade deadline. So the Timberwolves, I think they're still in the growing pains of this team. I think they're still gelling and meshing as a squad. But if there is somebody who you're looking at and saying maybe the Timberwolves should target, who is it, and what pieces are you willing to part with on the Timberwolves just in general?
I would say if I'm the Timberwolves, right, I think I'm looking to part with a second string, someone to come off the bench at the small forward or power forward positions. I think that's what I'm looking for right now, you know, or maybe even center to come up combat Karl-Anthony Towns, to, you know, be there with him and help him coming off the bench. Point guard, shooting guard, we're looking good right now. You know, we have Tyus Jones coming off the bench. We got Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, who's been playing really well, by the way. You know, he dropped 21 against Golden State. You know, I think there we're looking good. I think we can definitely look better in the small forward, power forward positions. But as you were saying, you know, they're playing really well together right now. You know, they're not, I mean, they're still really high up in the seedings right now. I think they're sitting at third, I'm pretty sure, right now.
Just bumped down to fourth after the loss to the Hawks the other night. But there with San Antonio switching back and forth.
Yep. And I mean, again, like I think they're playing really well together. You know, they're all, I think this is working out to be a lot, the chemistry is being a lot better than, you know, we expected that it would be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that, you know, I wouldn't move around too much right now. Let them feel it out. But if you do, I would say maybe like a bench player coming in at the four position.
Yeah, like a Bazemore or something. Yeah. Like a 3-and-D kind of guy.
Yep, exactly.
To try and extend the floor.
Exactly.
Jamal Crawford, 16.5 points per game over the last four games, coming back from the injury pretty strong. Yeah, it's tough because I think if you're the Timberwolves, I think a team is going to require you to part with a younger piece. I think they might have to part with like a Tyus Jones or maybe Justin Patton, as well as the Oklahoma pick from Utah. So I don't know if they want to part with those guys. I think there is a situation where if the piece that somebody offers up is good enough and the Timberwolves say, all right, we'll give you Tyus and a pick and another guy, but you have to take on Cole Aldrich's contract and take the $11 million. Excuse me, take the $11 million off the books. That might be a way where a team could get away with stealing Tyus or something like that.
Yeah.
The one guy I was kind of thinking about going into the show when we were talking about Kemba Walker, I know he's not really, there hasn't been any talk about trading him, and he probably isn't even for sale. But if there was a way to get Malik Monk, I feel like that could kind of be fun. If they don't overpay for him, I feel like that could kind of be a fun guy to have on the bench. And I know they have plenty of guards, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me wanting. I really want to see this team with a guy that can come off the bench and really hurt somebody from three-point range and not be quite as much of a defensive liability as I think Jamal Crawford is right now.
Yeah. I would say right now, again, not moving too much around. They're playing really well. And I think that the players are starting to fall into where they're, you know, where they're supposed to be. They're starting to fit their roles really well. It's been amazing for me to watch Jimmy Butler kind of go from, you know, the scorer that he was, the pure scorer that he was in Chicago, and now coming in and kind of doing it all. Mm. You know, and even defensively, he's been kind of a stalwart for them, and great job doing that. But I would say, yeah, maybe not too much movement on their part and not giving up too much either. You know, they're playing really well, and you don't want to like kind of forsake any opportunity that you might have with the squad you have now.
No, yeah. And just talking to some other guys about this too, as much as I think for me personally, I could see them maybe using or utilizing some guys, I think right now the move is probably just to stick pat for the Timberwolves and not really move around a ton and wait till at least this summer to see after a full calendar year what you have on your team and if you need to plug any holes at that point.
Yep.
All right, well, that's some trade talk from the Locked On Wolves crew, just to get you prepped for the trade deadline. Any other content that you need, written or podcast-wise, you can check out zonecoverage.com. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CMaleski. Let me know what you thought of the show. Any questions, go ahead and ask me there as well. Brendan, thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thank you so much.
This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.